Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Saleh for Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living.
Like a barber who is not completely satisfied with the haircut he's giving a customer and keeps snipping away, I feel that some things yet need to be said about this series of chats I've been having with you on The World. Now, frankly, if you're a regular listener, you're probably aware of the fact that what I've been talking about is pretty heavy stuff. In recent years, I've had a growing concern that many people who go to church, sing the songs, and go through the motions of being a Christian, in reality have never connected with Jesus Christ. That, of course, is a very serious charge. Now, not for a moment would I say, oh, this one's in and that one is out. Only God knows for sure. But what troubles me is the homogenized staleness, the lack of love which is so evident, the powerlessness of so many who are constantly overwhelmed by temptation, the inability of so many people to live like the redeemed instead of the world, the constant questioning of so many truths for which thousands have died. The bottom line is that too often today, there is little difference between the church and the world. No, I'm not suggesting that the real differences be cosmetic. What you wear, what you drink or don't drink, or where you go, or the kind of music you listen to. A generation ago, we labeled this worldliness and promptly forgot that our actions stem from the heart. But I do believe worldliness, the kind that causes our hearts to grow cold, is the real virus of the faith today. It causes many of us to justify that which would have brought down the condemnation and wrath of the reformers a few generations ago. Worldliness, to me, is an attitude of the heart. And like a silent virus which begins to cripple and debilitate the muscles of our soul and faith, we are often unaware that we've been infected by it until we are shocked into the sober realization we have been duped, and what we bought into was not the real thing. Now, Paul described this saying, as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Jesus himself voiced concern that many who know the language do not know the reality. Of these he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then he said, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Strong words? You bet they are. It is not unusual for me to get letters like the one which arrived from a woman who said, our family would move almost anywhere if we could find a church which really preaches the Word of God and loves people. They do exist, but there are not many of them. The problem, however, is not the church. It is those of us who sit in the pews week by week. May God send a spirit of revival whereby our hearts cry out, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. The promise of old is still valid. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. If a discussion on the world around us in relationship to Jesus Christ seems to be foreign, just look around you. And then look at fellow Christians. Is there a difference? Then look in the mirror. Is there a difference because of the reality of Jesus Christ in my life? If you have access to the internet, go to www.guidelines.org.